Okay, so we are going to, this Chazar is the first 3+ plot of Tama Nishrat. I think we had 8 Chaburas, which covered about 12 or 13 topics. So we did a lot, Baruch Hashem. It's been a great start to this run. So let's get started. The first topic we discussed was not on the daf. First topic, I'm just going to take this off because I can't take it anymore. The first topic we discussed was outside the Hagdama to the Korban Pesach. And some of the ideas that we discussed there, we're now starting to see, we're starting to see the peros of that as we get to Daf Samach Aleph, right, where the real dinim of Korban Pesach are really starting to come out. And we had two basic points we discussed in the Hakdama. One was the whole idea of the Korban Pesach as a Korban of Krisas Bris, which was really inherent in the fact that the Korban Pesach focuses on the Shechita and the Achila. Normally, Karbanos, we focus on the Zrika, the role of the Dam on the Mizbeach, but the Karban Pesach, we saw in a number of different areas, and we keep on seeing more of them as we go through the Parak, the focus is on the Shechita and on the Achila. So the way the Rambam formulated the mitzvah, right? Mitzvah, Lishchot, HaPesach, Bizmano, all of the different Machshavos, which only apply during Shechita. This is what we're about to get to in the Mishnah on Daf Samach Aleph. L'shem Ochlim, Arelim, Tmeim, Menuyim, even all those people, right? The focus is on the fact that they can't eat it. Like you have a Machshava Shalo L'shem Ochlim, the guy who's a perfectly upstanding Jew, just, you know, Nebuch, he didn't go to the dentist. That is going to be a psul in the Karban Pesach. We even saw, according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel, that while they are of the opinion that Shinoi Bailim normally only applies to Zrika, because the main role of the Bailim in a regular Karban is the Kapara, and that is contingent on the Zrika. When it comes to the Karban Pesach, Rashi said you also have Shinoi Bailim in the Shechita, because the Shechita and the Achila plays a very important role in Karban Pesach. And Rabbeinu Hananel seemed to think that you only have Shinoi Bailim in Shechita for the Karban Pesach. Right? We saw other ideas as well. You know, hopefully later on in this month, we'll talk about these categories, you know, Arel, Meshumad, Goy, who there are these unique Isurim against giving them from the Karban Pesach. This all seems to point to the idea of the Karban Pesach as a Karban of Bris. That's why the role of the Achila is so important. It's like a Shlamim on super steroids. Right, and the Mishnah even said straight out that while normally for Karbanos, which are kavua lehem zman, they can only be brought they must be brought in a fixed time. We know the halacha is tumba hutra b'tzibur. Normally, even though you are allowed to bring the karban, that only applies to the process of the dam. If you're tamei, you're never allowed to eat from the basar of a karban, but the Mishnah says the one exception is the karban pesach. The Mishnah says, because since it's only brought, right, shalo ba mitchilaso el achila, it's only brought for eating. So therefore, when we have the din of Tuma, Hutra, Bitzibur, that is even going to allow eating the Karban Pesach, because, hey, that's the whole point of bringing this whole thing. Okay. Then the other, shut up, what's over here? The other time we briefly discussed in that context the idea that seems to emerge from the Psukim, that the 14th of Nisan has its own status as a real Kedushas Yom Tov. To some degree, right? That seems to be the Pshat and the Tziv and the Gra pointed out in the Pesukim and Emor, that we seem to say that Yud Dalet is really the Chag HaPesach. And some really interesting nafkamina for when Avelus ends, and I think it was either the Tosas Rid or Rabbeinu Hananel. That's why the Kohanim are saying, that's what the Levim are saying, Hallel, as they're bringing the Karbane Pesach and a couple of other pieces over there. So the other major piece we had in Hakdama was the question of whether this Karban Pesach is a Karban Yachid or a Karban Tzibur, right? Now, if you woke me up at 3 in the morning and asked, I would have said it's a Karban Yachid because it's being paid for and brought by individuals. The Mishnah in Shkalim says, you have a very simple litmus test. If you want to tell if something is a Karban Tzibur or not, you simply ask, does this come from the communal funds of the Trumas Halishka, paid for with the Machatzis HaShekel that everybody brings, or is it being paid for by individuals? The Karban Pesach is not brought by the Trumas Halishka. It's brought by the Yechidim. Now the truth is, if you look in the Pesukim in Divrei Hayamim, that's not so simple, because the Pesukim in Divrei Hayamim say that when Yoshio HaMelech made a massive Karban Pesach, which goes back to the whole krisis bris idea, right? He's trying to emphasize in Chizkiyahu before him that we're back with Ribono Shel Olam, you know, all the Avodah Zarah is done, and we're starting fresh. So the Chukim there say that Yoshio actually used a lot of the royal treasury to buy animals for the Karban Pesach. But the halacha is that it doesn't come from the Trumas Lishka, it comes from individual people. However, we saw a number of Makoros, we saw the Tosefta quoting Hillel HaZaken, who said black and white, it's a Karban Tzibur. One Girsa in the Mishnah, our Girsa in the Mishnah and Tumura said it's a Karban Tzibur. We had a Tosas Rid and a Sfarno in different contexts, black and white, saying it's a Karban Tzibur. A bunch of different Marmakomas indicating that there is a role of Karban Tzibur. So we needed to explain how we can balance these two ideas. It seems to have, you know, in some way, it's definitely a Karban Yachid, but we keep on seeing evidence that it is a Karban Tzibur. And we saw, you know, basically three main ways of balancing between the two. One was just in the Gemara itself, already in the Tanaim, Rabbi Nassan, who says you have two tracks of Karban Pesach. Rabbi Nassan says if all Klal Yisrael wants, they can bring one Pesach and Biyotze. Now, obviously, not everyone's going to eat from it, so it's pretty shocking, right? We said at the beginning that the role of Achila plays such a huge role, but if the whole Tzibur brings one Karban, it's not going to be eaten by the whole Tzibur. Rabbi Nassan says all Klal Yisrael can bring one. And that does nicely highlight this idea that there is a tzibur element, right? Related to that, so Rav Nachum Zemba had his explanation. He's working with the Gemara and Yuma, which says that the Karban Pesach can be thought of as a Karban tzibur because it's brought by everybody together as they come in. Asi b'kenufya. Remember, since it's brought by everybody coming together, it's the regel, that somehow seems to give it a Karban tzibur-esque status. Nachum Zemba thought that there are two dinim. There's a yachid kiyum and there is a tzibur kiyum. And both of them are fulfilled when everybody comes together to bring their Karban Pesach. Nachum Zemba thought that the chiddush of Rav Nassan was that you could split, that you could have one kiyum without the other. That if the yachidim are not available, that we can just do the tzibur track. But Rav Nachum Zemba thought there are two separate dinim in the Karban Pesach. Dinim of Karban Yachid and dinim of Karban Tzibur. And then the third model we had really came out of Rashi, because Rashi and Psachim said that the Karban Pesach was a Karban Yachid. However, Rashi at the end of Maseches Zvachim, when the Gemara is talking about which Karbanos, at the end of Zvachim talks about the Halachos of Obama before the Beis HaMikdash, when you could bring private Karbanos. So, you know, there are some Karbanos which even in the days of the Bamas could not be brought in a backyard. They can only be brought on the Bama Gedola, which was the Mizbeach that they had in the Mishkan. And so Rashi there says that the Karban Pesach was only able to be brought on the Bama Gedola because it was a Chovas HaTzibur. This was a communal obligation. And so the suggestion that we made was that we can think of the Karban Pesach as a communal, hey Menachem, as a communal, Menachem, remember, Chabur is at 2 o'clock today.
Yeah.
So, okay, awesome. To think of the Karban Pesach as a communal obligation, which is being fulfilled by individuals, right? But the tzibur has to come together, bringing individual Karbanei Pesach. And you know, we could think about the role of the Chabura there, and Rav Hirsch has some very nice stuff about the Karban Pesach, which is creating tzibur, and you create tzibur from the ground up with families and then Chaburas and all coming together through Shalayim. And there's a lot of really interesting machshava there, which blends into halacha. So that was the basic hagdam, right? The focus on the achila, number one, and this balance between Karban Yachid and Karban Tzibur, number two. Okay, then we got into the Gemara. And remember, Daf Nun Ches, so the beginning of Daf Nun Ches focused on the Zman of the Tamid. And then we had the long back and forth, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva. And then we really got going in the Gemara is in the bottom of Nun Ches and the base, where the Gemara really introduced the obligation to not bring any Karbanos before the Tamid Shel Shachar, and no Karbanos after the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayin, right? Ha'ola, Ola Rishona, Ve'arach Ola, Ha'ola, Ola Rishona, so you can't bring anything before the Tamid Shel Shachar, and Ola Hashleim, that everything has to be finished before you bring the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayin. Both of those drashos came from Rava, right? Mitzvah Saseh, if someone asks, what's an example of an Isser Aseh, right? Let's see. Positive commandment prohibition. So you tell them you can't bring anything before the Tamid Shel Shachar, can't bring everything after the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayin. because the mitzvah say is you must bring the tamid first, you must bring the tamid last. So we had a couple of main points to talk about there. Number one was the role of the tamid in general. And we saw there, Lechatzin Zatzal had a couple of essential points about, fundamental points about the tamid, which that is going to shake out in the lumdus as we go through the sugyas, right? He pointed out, remember, there are two places where the Torah really talks about the Karban Tamid, one in Parshas Tetzaveh and one in Parshas Pinchas. And the question is, what exactly are those two doing? So he pointed out that each Parsha, we can really focus, there are two ways of showing, two different ways of showing points in each Parsha, right? Pinchas is talking about the Avoda. That's going to lean on Rosh Chodesh. Whereas Tetzaveh is talking about the Mishkan. And in particular, the Pesukim there seem to focus on the connection between the Karban Tamid and the Mizbeach. Part of building and then dedicating the Mizbeach is bringing to me demonic. So while, when the Torah tells us about building a Mishkan, it tells us that you have this Mizbeach and you're going to bring a Karban Tamid on it twice a day, every day. That's part of the Mizbeach itself. We're going to see this as we go through, right, that the Tamid and the Mizbeach have a unique relationship. The other way to consider it, and we'll see this also in some of the lumdis, is that while the tamid is part of the regular annual avoda cycle, right? Every day you bring a tamid. Every month you bring a musaf for Rosh Chodesh. Every year you're going to bring the musafin for whichever yantif we're talking about, right? Part of the regular schedule of karbanos. The context in Tetzaveh focused on the daily regimen in the Mikdash or in the Mishkan. Part of having a Mishkan or Mikdash, it's not just a building, right? Definitional to the Kedusha space of Mikdash is there is constant avoda happening. And that's the Tamid, that's the Ketores, and that's the Menorah, right? Those are the ones which are in, which are all in Parshas Tetzaveh. So this idea that Kedusha space of Mikdash, this avoda Tamidis, requires Karban Tamid. So we then ask, when it comes to these two mitzvahs, say, right, which are like kind of together, Ha'ola Ola Rishona and Aleh Hashlim. So we had two basic questions. Number one, are these one mitzvah or are these two mitzvahs? And if we think of them as two mitzvahs, so the mitzvah of Ha'ola Rishona, is that just what you call a din klali? It's a general mitzvah that tamid comes first for general reasons. Or are there specific reasons that tell us something about the nature of the karban tamid that it has to come first? So is this one mitzvah or two? We saw the Ramban say very clearly, it's one mitzvah. How do we know that? Because the Ramban said, the Rambam left a mitzvah out of his minyan taryag. He left several mitzvahs out of his minyan taryag. And one of them, the Ramban said, was, you have to bring all karbanos between the tamidim. So that's great, right? That's a great example of someone who's telling us that the tamidim are supposed to bracket the avoda. Everything has to be done between the tamas hashachar and the tamas shemayin arbayim, and the Ramban counts that as one mitzvah. On the other,
and look, according to that, the mitzvahs are the same, just two halves of the same coin. There's no reason to think that they should be any different,
right? Exactly. Right. It's just one mitzvah. You know, literally the mitzvah is to bring, it's not even so, you know, bring karbanos between the tamidim, right? That's one mitzvah. On the other extreme, we had Rav Chaim Cohen in the Tosos, right? All the Bali Tosos in so many Masechtas were bothered by this basic stira. What is the makor for the din that the Tamash HaShachar has to come first? Do we learn it from Arach Aleh Ha'ola Ola Rishona, or the Gemara in Zvachim Beitas, which said we learn it from Milvad Olas Haboker Asher La Olas HaTamid, right? So all of us are coming up with different explanations why we needed both of those. Rav Chaim Cohen said, we have two general dinim we learn about Tamid Shachar. Tamid Shachar, it's its own mitzvah, separate from Bein Harbayim, and the reason what we're darshing from those tzukim are two general concepts. We learn from Milvad Olas HaBoker, right? That the general principle of Tadir Vishaino Tadir Tadir Kodem, which obviously is a universal halacha, right? The marker for it is Tamei Shel Shachar, but that doesn't tell us anything specific about the nature of the Tamei Shel Shachar. It just tells me whatever is brought most frequently comes first. And the Tamei Shel Shachar is obviously brought every single day, so that's why it comes first. And then Ha'ola, Ola Rishona, said the Rav Chaim Cohen, I need that to tell me another general principle, which is even when I know about Tadir, well, I still do several things every day. I bring the Minchas Chavis in every single day. The Kohen Gadol brings his own carbon Mincha every single day. So what comes first? Carbon Tamid or Minchas Chavis in? They're both bought 365 days a year. So what comes first? So that's why we have a second pasuk, which tells you that Damim, right, Zvachim, animal carbonos, come before anything else. So that doesn't tell me anything about the Tamid Shel Shachar. It just tells me general principles. That is the view of Rav Chaim Cohen, right? Two dinim, and no din prati when it comes to the Tamid Shel Shachar. Okay, right. And then we have the different paleotosos who seem to say no, seem to say that, you know, Milvad Ola Saboker is telling me I didn't call you the Tadr Shina Tadr Kodem, but Ola Saboker is telling me something about specifically the Tamid Shel Shachar, that it has to come first. Or the view of the Tosa in a couple of places, that one, they're both practiced Dikadimim. One Pasuk is telling me that I need to sprinkle the Dam first. That's what we have with Milvad Ola Saboker. And the other one, Arach Ola Ha'ola, the Pesukim there were really focusing on the Mizbeach, right? Parashas Tzav, that's the Trumas Hadeshen Pesukim. So I have one special Pasuk that I need to burn the Tamid before I burn anything else, which goes back to what we said before, right? That the Tamid and the Mizbeach have a very special relationship. In fact, there's a special din. You need to burn the carbon Tamid before burning anything else. Normally, burning is a secondary role in the avodah, right? The only part of the avodah, which is ma'akiv, is the dam. The fact that there's a special mitzvah, I need to burn the carbon tamid before burning anything else. Why is that so important? It's raised, right? Because it's called the tamid and the mizbeach have a special relationship, right? The Mishnah Melech had that radical shita. He said, you know, if you only have, how did this come up? I don't remember how this came up. The Mishnah Melech wanted to say, I think if you, I don't remember why it came up. The Mishnah Melech wanted to say that you only had, do you guys remember why the Mishnah Melech wanted to say that maybe there's only a din of Kedimus for Haktara and not for Zikar? Abraham, do you remember? I don't remember how he got to this. Was there Machlokas in the Gemara and Zvachim? I don't remember. But he made a suggestion. He made a suggestion, Mishnah Melech, that you only have the din of Kedimus for Haktara. And not for, I know. It was for the deists that argue with Tosis. That's all about. The deists that understood the Joshua's differently, right? If you learn from Milvad, Tadr Shana Tadr, Tadr Kodem, which the Gemara, by the way, seems to do, so I only have one pasuk, Arach Ola Ha'ola. So does Arach Ola Ha'ola tell me I need to do the Zrika and Haktara first? Or maybe it says Mishal Malach, Mamish, I own the Halacha. The halacha, I only need to do the haktara of the carbon tamid shel shachar first. And when it comes to zrika, there's no din of it coming first. That would be a really radical view, right? Really highlighting the relationship between the carbon tamid and the mizbeach. Okay. Would you? Okay, but you wouldn't be in like violation of the nis or assay. Right, but fair point. So let's move on. We talked about the question of whether it's ma'akiv, different deists and rishonim if this is ma'akiv or not. So that's fine. So then we went out to Nun Testament Aleph. Nun Testament Aleph got us to the very related sugya. Right, now that we've emphasized how important it is to bring the carbon tamid first thing in the morning, last thing in the afternoon. Right, for the Ramban, it's bracketing all the avodah of the day. So then the Gemara runs in Testament Aleph with all the exceptions. Pesach, Menorah, Ketores, right, that these are exceptions to the rule. Yuchar Davar, Shenemar Bo Be'erev U'Bein Harabai. Now, the more we talk about how important it is to have the Tamid be first and last, the more surprising it is to have exceptions. So the main question that we focused on in the sugya was this machlokas between the Balei Tosfos and the Pnei Yehoshua. Does Karban Pesach, right, when the Torah says you bring it Bein Har Bayim, so is that being docha the din of Alah Hashlim? We would love to bring the Karban Tamid last. But the Torah tells me that there's a more important din that the Karban Pesach comes after the Karban Tamid. So one is beating the other. Bein Har Bayim Yuchar Davar is beating Alah Hashlim. That is clearly the way the Balei Tosfos learned, because Balei Tosfos had a whole thing of trying to figure out, maybe I wouldn't need a drasha because the Tamid Shel Bein Har Bayim should come first anyway, because it's Tadir. Even though it's Tadir, I would have thought it comes last because of Alah Hashlim. And so I need a drasha from Bein Har Bayim to tell me no, despite all that, you bring the Karban Pesach last. But the Bnei Yeshua said no. Yeshua said, the reason why the Pesach is brought after the Tamid is not because we were defeating Alah Hashlim. Alah Hashlim isn't Shaya. Because he said this in a few different ways, but the main idea that came out of there was he said, the carbon Pesach is a carbon from Sefer Shmos. It has no Shaychus to the whole general framework of Karbanos that we have in Vayikra. You want to talk about the general avodas, general world of karbanos? That was what Ramban was talking about, right? You bring the carbon tamid in the morning, you bring your regular karbanos in the rest of the day, you bring your tamid in the afternoon, and that's it. But the carbon pesach is a totally unique carbon. It doesn't belong in this whole framework, says the Bnei Yeshua. Bnei Yeshua says there's a major nafkamina to all this, which is, and we'll get to this, Rosh Hashanah, we'll get to Daf Ayin, and we talk about the Karban Chagiga, right? The Karban which was brought with the Karban Pesach, the Pashtus, to make sure that everybody ate it on a full stomach. But the Pnei Yeshua asks, when was the Chagigas Yodalid brought? According to Tosos, it should be brought in the morning, because the special drasha for the Karban Pesach to come later was only helpful for Karban Pesach. It wasn't helpful for any other Karban. Pnei Yeshua says the truth is the Pashtas, if you read the Mishnayos, and in Rashi, and in the Rambam, is that somehow the Chagigah, and Metzias-wise, this also makes sense, you walk into the Beis HaMikdash once, you bring your Pesach, and you bring your Chagigah. When the Mishnayos talk about all of Klal Yisrael who were outside the gates of the Azara, the gates of the Azara would close once they filled the Azara. Sounds like they only do this once in the afternoon. So, and then at that time, you bring your Pesach and bring your Chagigah. So Pnei Yeshua asks, how do you do that? The answer is the Chagiga is with the Karban Pesach, and it's this whole world of Erev Pesach Karbanos that is outside the usual realm of the Tamidim. Okay, right. We also dealt with
we did point out at that time that question likely largely hinges on the relationship between the Chagiga and the Pesach, right? If you understand that the Chagiga is simply an extension of the Karban Pesach, that the creation of the Alah Sova makes it part of the experience of Hakravas Karban Pesach, it actually wouldn't be so surprising that it also breaks the rule of Alah Hashlim, because it just drags on the coattails of the Karban Pesach.
Yeah, the Pnei Yeshua is making a double assumption, right? He has to assume that we can go beyond the Karban Pesach, but he's also assuming that there still is a relationship between the Chagiga and the Pesach. If it was totally separate, then even his whole Vart wouldn't help you.
I think we're trying to say even with Tosos, so you could say that the Chagiga is.
Yeah. Okay. So right. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't hear what he said.
Are you saying? Were you making the suggestion even for Tosos?
Yeah, that Tosos might argue that Pesach Ud Imei get that pass.
Could be. It's still difficult because at the end of the day, if it's a narrow drasha, so if I don't have Ba'erev Bein Harabayim,
again, it depends on the relationship between Pesach and Chagiga. If Chagiga is an extension of really it's a part of the Karban Pesach, then it's not so surprising. Okay. It really depends on the extent to which Chagiga and Pesach are connected.
Okay. Okay. Pnei Yeshua thought it was happening. Okay, good.
But I'm saying his assumption gets to that question.
Yeah. Okay. So we then went to Nun Tess Amud Aleph, Nun Tess Amud Beis. Rav Rand gave a chabura touching on a number of topics, which we'll discuss all the briefly. Mechasa Kippurim, Achilas Kadshim, Asay Dokolos Asay. There's one point about the Mechasa Kippurim, who's the guy who, you know, you have the Mitzora, let's say, who sits his whole period of Toma, and just after he finishes his Tara period, he has to bring a carbon, or he has to bring carbonos. So the basic question from the Mechasa Kippurim is, how much Tuma does he really still have? To what degree is this guy still Tame? And to what degree is he, you know, he's Tahor, but he's just like, just needs to clock in, you know, like you have the guy in the basketball game who's at the scorer's table, like, you know, he's off the bench waiting to check in, right? So what exactly is the status of the Mechasa Kippurim? So the Baal Amar and the Ravid had a machlokes right over here. We're talking about this. Why are we talking about this? Because the Gemara brought the machlokes between the Chacham and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka about whether a Mechasa Kippurim Peshar Yimos Hashanah can bring his karbanos after Tamat Shalbein Arbayim. We said one exception, one for sure exception, is that on Erev Pesach, we want the Mechasa Kippurim to be able to eat Karban Pesach that night. So the Mechasa Kippurim on Erev Pesach can for sure bring his karbanos after Tamat Shalbein Arbayim. And in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Chacham argued about during the rest of the year. And then the Amoraim, you know, had different okimtas explaining where Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, how he was getting to there. But bottom line is, we're talking about Mechasa Kippurim. So what exactly is his status as an Ish Tamei or not? So the question here, right, we have two, there are two nafkaminas that the Ravid has. One was the question here with Machlokes Baal Amar, when can the Mechasa Kippurim begin eating kachim? According to Baal Amar, who thinks that he's not really such an Ish Tamei, as soon as he brings his karbanos, he can immediately eat. Fundamentally, he's Tahor. He just needed his karbanos to be brought. Now the karbanos are brought, he's good. Immediately, he can eat karbanos. The Ravid says no. The Ravid says he needs to wait until nightfall. He still needs Harav Shemesh. Right? That was... I thought it was Midoraisa. I'll look at it inside. I thought it was Midoraisa.
Sounds like it is Midoraisa.
I think it was. I
mean, there shouldn't be a distinction Midrabanan.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure why they're making Zera. And it's going to fit with something else he's going to say, which is Midoraisa. So that's piece number one, right? Just like some regular person is Tommy, you need Harav Shemesh. Right? It says the Mechasa Kippurim needs Harav Shemesh to eat from Kachim. Rav Rand points out that fits with another view of the Ravid about the Mechasa Kippurim. If somebody is Tamei and walks into the Beis HaMikdash, so is that a Chi of Karis or Misa Beis Shemayim? I think it's Karis, right? It's Karis.
Karis.
Yeah. So that's for sure. If someone's Tamei walks into the Beis HaMikdash, Karis. What about Mechasa Kippurim? The Rambam says that a Mechasa Kippurim who walks into the Beis HaMikdash, it's only Malchus. And the truth is, if you look carefully at the Pesukim, the whole process for the Mitzora, it's really interesting the way it works out. The Mitzora, as they're doing the whole thing with the Dam and the Mitzora, he like keeps on sticking little pieces of his limbs over the line. And then finally, after he finishes the whole process, then he's able to walk in. So the Rambam says, look, he's like almost there. He's not really Tamei. And if he walks in, he's a Mechasa Kippurim, he only gets Malchus. The Ravid says, no, the man is Tamei. And therefore, if he walks in as a Mechasa Kippurim, he gets Kares. So we see the Ravid adopting a pretty consistent view about the status of the Mechasa Kippurim. That was the first basic point over here. Right. The second topic we dealt with in the daf was the mitzvah of Achilas Kadshim. And the fact that our Gemara here gives a big problem to the Rambam. This comes up because the Gemara is kind of surprised why on earth we would say that we should violate Alea Hashleim so that the Mechasa Kippurim could eat Karbanos. Gemara says, I have one assay of Alea Hashleim. I have one mitzvah assay of eating kachim, where it says, my olme hayas and hasek. One assay versus another. The halach, we do not say assay docha assay. So why would we choose eating karbanos over choosing alea hashta? Right, that's the Gemara stuff. Now, what clearly emerges from the Gemara, though, is that achilas kadshim is a mitzvah aseh. So what exactly is the aseh that the owner of this mechotzer kippurim is fulfilling when he eats kadshim? So there were three basic deos in the Rishonim. Two of them have no problem with this Gemara, and one of them is in huge trouble. Rashi says there's one mitzvah of eating kadshim. It's learned from the pasuk va'achlu osam ashakuf arbahem, which tells you that part of the kapara process is eating the basar. And Rashi's here says that that mitzvah also applies to Yisraelim eating kachik halim. And that is the mitzvah that our Gemara is referring to.
Just one note for those who were cranky about the role of kapara regarding shar kabanos. The pasuk of va'achlu osam ashakuf arbahem, Rashi is connecting with a carbon that you would not have expected. I will now mute myself.
Okay. We'll have to, those who are upset will have to look. I guess, including the Rambam, for example. Okay, we'll
you
take
were
a look.
Upset now, about now, it. Now, just
that, hey, that sounds like Rashi that she does say. So that's great. Very consistent for Rashi. The Ramban had a slightly different view. The Ramban thought there were two different mitzvahs of Achilas Kadshim. He says there are two psukim, and you have to count them as two separate mitzvos in your minyan tariyak. There is the mitzvah of achlu osam asher kuf abraham. That is a mitzvah for kohanim. And then there is a second mitzvah, the achalta maisa degancha, which applies to eating Yisraelim eating kadshe kal. The achalta maisa degancha. I think he may include Parshas Re'eh, right? Okay, very good. So that's the view of the Ramban, that there are two separate mitzvahs. On that note, you should know there's a good day out there. The view of the Me'iri and the Karen Ora, the Me'iri is in Sukkah and the Karen Ora is in Menachos, is that this mitzvah for the Yisrael only applies to the Bailam. They have the opinion that it's only the Bailam of a Karban who has a mitzvah of Achilas Kadshim, nobody else. Then there was view number three, and here's the view which is problematic. If you look at the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, so the Rambam says that the mitzvah of Achilas Kadshim is Asham and Chatas, but obviously that's only Kohanim, because that's Kadshik Kadash. Rambam says, V'achlo Osam Asher Kufa Behem. The pasuk is focused on kapara. Therefore, says the Rambam, the mitzvah is focused on the karbanos of kapara, asham and chatas. So immediately, one must wonder, what about our Gemara, which seems to talk about a mitzvah, achilas kadshim, for the bailim? So if you look in the Dvar Shmuel, so he goes through like three or four different answers in the Achronim. The simplest one is the answer of the Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh says, if you only learn Rambams by looking at the Mishnah Torah, you're making a huge mistake, because the Rambam wrote an introduction to the Mishnah Torah called the Sefer Mitzvos. And if you look at the Rambam's, I think it's Mitzvah Pei Tes, the Sefer Mitzvos, so the Rambam tells you that even though the primary mitzvah is the Kohanim eating Asham and Chatas, the Rambam says that all other Achilas Kadshim is Nigrar Achar HaMitzvah. It says, Va'ochel Osam Osam Mitzvah. There is a mitzvah that is fulfilled when you eat other Karbanos, but it is secondary. So you might call it a mitzvah Tfela. It's a mitzvah Nigreres. It's a secondary mitzvah. So Shagas Aryeh says, no problem from our Gemara. That mitzvah tfeila is enough to be considered a mitzvah in its own right, and that's why the Gemara here was balancing asay de hashlama, right, alei hashlim, with this mitzvah tfeila of Yisraelim eating kadshik hal. Rashmuel is not so happy with that answer, because he quotes actually a chachmas adam, Rachaya, one of the Svarim, who tries to prove that the Rambam does not, and this makes sense, Misvara, that the Rambam does not think that a mitzvah tefela would be go toe to toe against a full fledged mitzvah. Right? If I have a regular mitzvah, say of Alei Hashlim, and then I have a mitzvah tefela for Yisrael to eat karbanos, so how could the mitzvah tefela go toe to toe with a full fledged mitzvah? Rav Shmuel quotes the Chayyadim on that, so he's not happy with this answer.
But that goes back to the question of whether or not Asi Dokalosa say is because of the force of the requirement, the chiyuv is what it creates the chiyuv or the kiyum. If you say that it's the kiyum, then even a kiyum chalki should suffice. Right? You're correct. I'm looking at it here. It's the binas adam.
Okay. So the other main topic that we discussed for Achilas Kadshim, anybody who talks about Achilas Kadshim has to talk about this, is the classic Beis HaLevi. This actually is going to be relevant a little bit to Rabbi Cohen's Chabur this afternoon, which you'll unfortunately miss. Hopefully we'll get recorded. The Beis HaLevi suggested that the mitzvah of Achilas Kadshim, this mitzvah for the Kohanim and Achla Osam, Asher Kufar Bahem, is not a mitzvah on the Gavra, right? But it is a mitzvah on the Chafza. The Karban must be eaten. And it doesn't really matter to me who does the eating. As long as the Karban itself is eaten, that's the whole mitzvah. And the two main riots he had for this were the Gemara in Yuma, which describes how once after Shimon HaTzadik, so the Kohanim did Shracha Maises with what was happening. People were eating Lechem upon him, and they were not getting full. But in the good old days, you could eat even a pool and be full from Lechem upon him. And it sounds like you had Kohanim who were eating less than the Kazayas Lechem upon him. And it sounds like that was a Chachila. So basically, he says, this is crazy. We know, we did Mishnayos in like sixth grade, and they taught us that you have to eat a kezias to be considered an achila. So what on earth are Kohanim doing eating less than a kezias of lechem apanim? Suck it up if you're full and just, get down another half zayas. Like, it's not such a big deal. So he says, what's the answer? The answer is, you don't need achilas kezias because kezias all falls onto achilas hagavra. But mitzad the cheftza shalachim apanim, it is eaten. It doesn't matter if it is eaten by many kohanim eating less than a kezias, or if it is eaten by only a few kohanim eating more than a kezias. All that I care about is it being eaten. And his other proof was the Mishnah in Shabbos, which talks about what they would do with the karbanos of Yom Kippur if Yom Kippur is on a Friday. So the problem is they can't, they have to eat the basar from the Yom Kippur karbanos, but they can't cook it because it's Shabbos. What they do. So the Mishnah says the Bavliim, those barbaric Babylonian Kohanim, they no problem, they would eat the meat raw. So basically, he says, well, hold on a second, eating it raw, that's Shaloka Derech. How is Shaloka Derech Achila valid? He says, again, not a problem, because Shaloka Derech Achila, that's a din in the Gavra. And what we care about for Karbanos is the meat being eaten. And if meat is being eaten in a weird way, that it's being eaten raw, or if it's being eaten in a normal way, it's being grilled, it doesn't matter, it's still being eaten. Which, you're saying what, Gashir Kidshanu? I guess, would you say Al Achilas Zvachim instead of Lechol Zvachim, maybe?
No, it's the worst of Achila.
I don't know. And it is being eaten, just I'm not eating it. Right? We can't attribute it's being eaten to me. I don't know. Now, this will come up this afternoon, because this is the point that the Chavis Das is making for the for Cohen's afternoon Chabura, that we could talk about. We talk about Chametz, right? So we're going to talk about problems in the Cheftz of Chametz and problems in the Gavra of Chametz. And so Shalo Kedera is a Gavra problem, right? Not a Cheftz problem. That's why he says, even though basar b'chalav shalo kederech achila is aser, but he says if the milk and meat is totally rotten, it's mutter. That's why nosin tam lufgam by Basar B'chalav, he says, is okay. Because nosin tam lufgam, we're not saying that you are eating the milk and meat in a weird way. We're saying this is no longer milk and meat. We're saying the chefza itself has is having problems. So, good. Always good when we can mix the morning with the afternoon. The last topic for that sugi was aseh doch lo saseh, and just the main point to take out of it was the Tosus asked an important question, which gets us the basic principles that aseh doch lo saseh. Tosus says, hold on a second, how on earth can we say that the mitzvah of the carbon pesach will possibly docha the aseh of Allah Hashlein? It's a rule in aseh doch lo saseh that we require be'idna. You need to fulfill the aseh in the moment that you're overcoming the law. I can't violate a law now to say that I'll fulfill a mitzvah later. It doesn't work. But what are we telling the Kohanim? We're telling the Kohanim, violate Allah Hashlim now, bring the carbon, shat the carbon pesach now, so that later on tonight these bialim can eat carbon pesach. It doesn't work. So our man talked about that also, right? This is one of the makoros for chatei b'shul shetiska chavercha, 100%. Rabbi Tosus just asked that basic question about be'idna, and the Re said two answers in Tosus. One was, well, you already have be'idna because it's a case where they've already. What was the first answer? Actually, I don't understand that first answer.
The gavra is now chazi to bring the carbon, so that becomes part of the process. So that's be'idna.
Oh, that's what it was. It was an okemta where he already brought the carbon pesach. He already shecht the carbon pesach, and therefore we're under pressure to shecht his carbon mitzorah. Okay, right. Interesting. But the more fidelity so those gave was that you only need this requirement for be'idna when it's a lo saseh against an aseh. But if you have one aseh against another, then we're not going to have the requirement for be'idna. The explanation Rabbi Brand gave was that when it comes to aseh versus aseh, we're no longer talking about one overcoming the other, right? I'm going to beat the lo saseh with the aseh. If you want to be docha a lo saseh, then you need to be there in the moment, right? My aseh needs to be active to be docha elos aseh. I have to have the kiyum be'idna right now. I can't say it's okay because I'll do this later on that night. But what's happening here, we have one aseh versus another, Allah Hashlein, versus eating carbon pesach or eating kachim. So there, you just face a choice between one of two kiyumim. Where it's not that we're being docha alav. Torah tells me to do X. The Torah tells me to do Y. They're both mitzvahs aseh. I am in a situation where I cannot do X and Y, so I need to choose. Which one of the two am I going to do? And that is a different model. There, we're not going to have the requirement of bid. Okay, so that whole sugya took us all the way into Nun Tesla phase. We got down to the Mishnah, and we got launched on the whole, really, we focused on the whole second half of those months so far, all the sugyas of Lishma, which the Mishnah introduced us. When the Mishnah and the Testament Beis told us, HaPesach Sheshachta Shol Lishmo, right, or any of the other avodas, Kabbalah Halacha Zrika Shol Lishmo, is possible. So, right, we had a whole overview of the world of Lishma, which we could talk about forever, so let's try to boil down a couple of the quick-hitting points. What exactly is Lishma? The truth is, we need to talk about three things. Talk about the sugyas of Lishma. There's the Lishma, the fact that I have to have in mind. There's stama lishma, right? The fact that if I'm neutral, what is that status? And there's shalo lishma, if I have the wrong intent, I have in mind the wrong carbon, what is the story over there? Right? Those are three main avenues to be thinking about. The nature of lishma, the nature of stama, and the nature of shalo lishma, red, yellow, green. So when it comes to lishma, what exactly is this din? I need to think, I need to have in mind the, you know, when I'm shachting the Pesach, I am shachting the carbon pesach. Right? So what is that? So the Karanora, who says this is just like kavana in mitzvot. You have to have kavana for your mitzvah. He says it's really kind of a difficult shot. The more straightforward is to understand that lishma is when you are, there's a certain chafta we're talking about. I'm trying to imbue chefza with a certain status, certain destiny. We talk about lishma, we talk about Sefer Torah and Gittin and Tefillin and a karban, right? I have this piece of parchment and I'm trying to create it into, turn it into a Sefer Torah. I have Betsy the cow. I'm trying to make Betsy the cow into a karban. That's different from what I have in mind when I said halosma. That's not the same. That was the first main piece to appreciate. Lishma relating to the chefza and the destiny of the karban. The second point, talk about what is the nature of this din of stama lishma, where the Gemara tells us that even if you did not explicitly think, I am shachting this chatas for the sake of chatas, etc., that's okay. So the way the Karen Or understood it was this is an umdana. Presumably, that's what he had in mind. Even if you didn't say straight out, we will assume that that was your intent. Which the truth is, the Gemara on Samach and Mebez is like a buzzsaw. That's a disaster for this Karen Ora. Because remember when Rava said, well, what if I have Stama Lishma versus Shalo Lishma? It sounded like the Stama Lishma was like, you know, still an active player. Well, that is very hard to understand. If it's just an umdana that you were thinking Lishma, that line doesn't really make any sense. So the Griz disagreed, and the Griz said that Stama Lishma really means the carbon. This is the carbon's destiny. We said a minute ago, Lishma means I am imbuing the carbon with the status and the destiny as carbonola. Well, guess what? When you have a carbonola, it already is designated as a carbonola. When did I designate it as a carbonola? Way before the avoda, when I took Betsy out of my flock and I said Betsy is going to be a carbon shlamim, right? At that moment, inherent in Betsy was Kedusha Shlamim, the destiny was there, and Memela, Stama Lishma, even if I do not explicitly think Lishma, its destiny is already set. Okay, now, some more to talk about there. Do I need Lechachila, should I think Lishma, or not? But let's move on to cover the main point about the world of Shalo Lishma. Right? The basic Hakira of the Griz, which we need to have down pat because it has come up already a couple of times after this Hakdama Chabura, and it's going to come up more times as we go into the Sugyas and Daf Samach Aleph and Samach Beis. The Griz, you know, we could ask. The Mishnah tells us that Shalo Lishma is possible for a Chatas and an Asham. So is it possible because it just lacks the necessary Lishma? Or is it possible because there is an external posel, right? There's something ruining this carbon. You know, is the problem that I just forgot to add the salt, or is the problem that I added something which totally makes the thing taste nasty? What exactly is the nature of the psul of Shalo Lishma? So the Kovitz Shirim, right, Rabbi Chana Wasserman, he says this problem is a lack of Lishma. If you shech to the Pesach Shalo Lishma, the problem is you did not have the necessary Lishma. And he quotes from the Balei Tosos, who compare Shalo Lishma by Kadshim to Shalo Lishma by Tzitzis. He says, if you're going to make that comparison, the only way that comparison makes sense is if we're talking about just a lack of Lishma. Because if there is some special posel, you know, a karban has all these different dinim. There's pigul and tameh and Shalo Lishma. Well, if it's a special din of a posel by a karban, that has nothing to do with Tzitzis. Imagine someone saying, oh, there's pigul by karbanos, so there's pigul by tzitzis. It doesn't make any sense. Tosus. Rabbanakos Tosus is comparing it to tzitzis. So the... So he proves from there that Shalo Lishma is a lack of Lishma. However, the Griz disagrees, and we're going to see Raiosis again as we go through the Gemaras here in Pesachim. The Griz understands that no, there is an active posel of Shalo Lishma. If you think Shalo Lishma, you are ruining your carbon. You're adding a disqualifying element into this carbon. Very similar to Pigul, right? And you know, if we just think of we saw this in the most recent sugi we did the sugi of Shnei Kodesh Shnei Bailim, where remember the Rambam said That line, the Rambam said, there are three ways you can passel a carbon machshava: chutz lizmano, chutz lemkomo, and shinoi hashem. Remember that, Rambam? So that's a great example where we're pretty clearly treating shelo lishma like a posel. You know, it's being mentioned in the same breath as pigul. It's ruining the carbon. Now, the Griz does take it one step further. At least he does in that piece in Maisa Karbanos, where the Griz
step further.
Yeah, where the Griz thinks that not only is shelo lishma a posel, but he thinks, and this is kind of hard to wrap our heads around, but we should just try our best, that the stama lishma is always there. You never get rid of the stama lishma. Even when I think shelo lishma, this carbon still is stama lishma with a posel of shelo lishma. Very hard to wrap our heads around. Truth is, though, that can, at least can be a way of understanding what Rava was saying. That is how the Griz understands Rava on Samach Mabez. Because Rava on Samach Mabez, this is the Griz's Raya, compares lishmo, the shelo lishmo, to stama and shelo lishmo. So the Griz says, well, just like lishmo, shelo lishmo, both of those are there. So if Rava is comparing that to stama and shelo lishma, we also see there that the stama is there, but there's a posel of shelo lishma, right? That's the Griz's time. The big problem with the Griz and the Gemara is that it's like he read half of Rava, it's a pella, because Rava says that the shelo lishma is mafkile mide lishma. It says the sholoshma knocks out the lishma, and it sounds like the Rava is saying that the sholoshma knocks out the stama lishma. So if you get into some of the details of the Gemara there and how Pesach Shlomo Zmano, very, very difficult. And we saw at the end that the Griz in Shlomo Mekdashin actually seems to have a bit of a different understanding. But okay, bottom line, right? What is the nature of the social lishma? Rav Hanan, a lack of lishma, Griz, posel, and with this added element that maybe even the stam lishma is sticking around. Okay, so we have three more chaburis to cover. We're only going to really cover two and a half of them because Pesach Shlomo Zmano I had a hard time with. I don't know what to say. We got to Daf Samach Amud Aleph, and the Gemara's there talked about Tfos Lashon Rishon, which is a major Shas topic, but we just covered the basics of the Sugya. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi argue. Rabbi Meir thinks that we say Tfos Lashon Rishon. So if you have a Pesach which was Shechted Lishmo V'Shelo Lishmo, so is it Kasher or is it Pasul? So the Gemara jumps in. And the Gemara says, well, for a mayor, we say Tfos Lashon Rishon. So if your Lashon Rishon was Lishmo, and your Lashon Sheni was Shelo Lishmo, according to a mayor, it should be Kosher, because we go with the first thing that you said. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says, Af Bigmar Dvarav Adonipas, we go by both things that the person said. So this general machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, if somebody says two things, one after the other, do we go by the first one, Rabbi Meir, or do you go by both of them, Rabbi Yossi? So the main question about this machlokas is whether this is a psychological machlokas or a lumdish machlokas. Do we think that they're just arguing? You know, if a person says two different things, did he really only mean one of them? You know, he meant the first one, and then he just, you know, he had commitment issues, so he said something else afterwards. Or we think he meant both. That's one way of understanding it. No way of understanding it is no. That Alpidin, according to Meir, once you said the first thing, you're locked in. You're locked into the first thing you said. And even though you were dead serious when you said the second thing, sorry, Charlie, it's too late. And Rabbi Yossi says no. Rabbi Yossi says the second thing can be chalaswa. The truth is that these two ways of understanding the machlokas were just different days in the Amoraim, in the two other Gemaras. Talk about this a bit. Because the Gemara in Temura, Tosus pointed this out, had a very, very, very narrow, Rabbi Yochanan there, very narrow understanding of the Machlokas, where basically, not basically, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi only argue about one case. When a guy says, Harezo Temuras Ola U Temuras Shlamim. And the question there is, did he really mean it's both, if he really meant it was both, he should have said it's Tmuras Ola Tmuras Shlamim. Why do you say and Tmuras Shlamim? So basically, everyone agrees if it's clear that he wanted both, we'll have both. If it's clear he didn't want both, we'll have the first. And then there's a very narrow middle ground where it's unclear what exactly he meant, and that's where Meir and Rabbi Yossi were arguing. However, we go to the Gemara in Zvachim on Daf Lamed. Rav and Abaye argue there. And the way that Rav understands the Machlokes is very, very clearly that they're arguing in Lamed. Because the Gemara asks, what if the guy said, this is Tmuras Ola and Shlamim? What if he said even more radically, the Chatzoyin, I want half of this animal to be Tmuras Ola and half of this animal to be Tmuras Shlamim? Well, in that second case, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to say that we're arguing psychologically, what was the guy thinking? The guy told us very clearly what he was thinking. He wants a chetzi chetzi. I want half Tmuras Ola and half Tmuras Shlamim. And yet, said Rava, Rabbi Meir will still tell us, Tfos Lashon Rishon. Now, Abaye yells and screams at him, but what on earth, how on earth is Rava understanding Rabbi Meir? If the guy said, I want it to be half X and half Y, why is it only X? So Rashi explained that what Rava is saying in Rabbi Meir is that Tfos Lashon Rishon is a din in the Lundas. Once that first Machshava is Chal, there is no more room for any other machshava to come in. They said this is the din of hispashtas. If somebody sanctifies the leg of a karban as a karban, that kedusha spreads to the whole karban. So when the guy says this is half tmuras ola, immediately that will spread to the whole karban, leaving no other room. And Riosi says, no, what are you talking about? The guy was very clear. He was making one general statement. They're all coming into the karban at the same time. That's the Machlokas Rei Meir and Rabbi Yossi. The Tosos here pointed out that our Gemara, which is talking about Lishmo, Vishalo Lishmo, and thinks that that is part of the Rei Meir, Rabbi Yossi Machlokas, learns like Rava, this is Aliba de Rava, and Tosos Girsa even is Rava himself from Zvachim Daf Lamed. And that's why even though the guy is formulating it in a way that makes pretty clear, he wants both Machshavas to be Chal, he says this is going to be Lishmo and Shalo Lishmo. So that issue of Rei Meir is relevant. In the Hemshech, you see this comes pretty clearly on some of the days. The Tosas keep on bringing this back up. Tosas clearly think of this as a Lamdish Machlokas, because Tosas say that even according to Rei Meir, if the Lishna Basra, which you normally wouldn't go by, if Lishna Basra was a stronger psul, so like Shalo Lishmo going up against Lishmo, so then sometimes the Lishna Basra can win because it's stronger than Lishna Kama. If we're thinking psychologically, this makes no sense, right? We just say whatever the guy thought of first. But if we're thinking in terms of Lundis, then what the Re says in Sanfa Beis, two different doses in, then we have to think about which of the two Machshavos is the stronger one, that is going to be relevant, because maybe the second guy can kick out the first guy if it's stronger. Okay. Good. We talked about Baba Basra, which had the Machlokas Bananas and the Chachamim, about there all of a sudden Banana said we go with Tfos Lashon Acharon. Why does that not come up here? And the basic chiluk in the Rishonim and the Tzlach over here, the Rashbam and Tosis over there, was that whenever we talk about this whole sugi of Tfos Lashon Rishon, Tfos Lashon Acharon, the first question to ask is whether the two things the guy are saying contradict each other. So there's no inherent contradiction between Lashem Pesach and Lashem Shlamim. There's no inherent contradiction between Lashem. No, you could, in theory, why can't the guy say I want both? I want this to be Lishmo and Shalishmo. It is for the sake of a Pesach and for the sake of a... Yeah. Those are different, but they're not contradictory.
Meaning we have cases... We have cases where you have, let's say, money, and the money is, it has two kinds of kedusha. Like, there are ways to create multiple identities for a karban that obviously, yeah, that doesn't, I think what Rav Noach is saying, that's not normal, and that's not a normal way to shech the karban, and you can't actualize those machshavas, but You have a lot of other cases where, you know, you have strange kinds of kedushas that could be chal for whatever reason.
Yeah. Look, even the going back to the Gemara about before, but lechatzoin, the guy literally said, I want this to be half ola, half shlamim, tamura. Right? Why can't, that's fine. That's not contradictory. So Hudanami says, I want this all to have kedusha ola and all kedusha shlamim. I love olas and love shlamim. I want this to have kedusha of both. So, man, it's bizarre, but it's not tarte de satre, right? What is tarte de satre? The guy is selling the field, and he says, I'm going to sell you the field exactly more or less, right? Those are opposite statements. So if we have opposite statements, then Rabbi Yossi's whole thing over here about af bigmar dvar about the nitpas is ridiculous. We can't say both are true. Clearly, right? He said two opposite things. When he says two opposite things, the question is, did he change his mind? Ben Nana says he changed his mind. We go by Lashon Achron. Right? Chum say, well, it's kind of what they say, but they say, basically, Hemotzechel Barai. We're going to go with Lashon, which is best for the Machzik. If they're not contradictory, then that gets us to the Machlokas here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Okay. We also talked about Mechashven Me'avoda. Lavoda, Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says you can do that. Shochet, Almanas, Lizrok, Sholishmo, right? Rabbi Yochanan said it's possible. Reish Lakish said was kasher. We saw that Tosfos thought that we have to stick very narrowly to the precedence of Reish, of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said we find this by Pigul, we find this by Shina Bailim. So Tosfos said, you only have those if it's almanas lizro. But if somebody would be shochet almanas lakabel, apparently it would not be possible. However, the Rambam disagreed. The Rambam just said, we have a rule of machashvin me'avoda la'avoda. The explanation we saw was that Rambam thinks, look, we're just learning from the general principle. The general din of pigul also applies to sholoshma. Going back to that griz about postlim, the more we think that pigul and sholoshma have in common, the easier it will be to say we're learning general principles from Pigul to Shlo Lishma, even though the specific details don't necessarily work out, right? Just like by Pigul, you can think from one avoda to another, so too, by Shlo Lishma, we can think from one avoda to another, right? And the last topic we had in Mechashen Avoda Avoda was whether it's a problem in the first avoda or the second avoda. The Rambam said it was a problem in the second avoda, which is problematic because Avodah Zara, we said this is also a problem, even though if you sprinkle dam of something Avodah Zara, that doesn't asser it. So that was a bit of a problem. Okay, last two topics we had. One was Pesach Shelo Bizmano, which I am not able to talk well about Pesach Shelo Bizmano. Hopefully we'll be able to talk about it better once we do the Gemara and Daf Samach Gimel. I think it's going to come up again. The main issue for us to have in mind is what is the status of the Karban Pesach when it's not Yud Dalet B'Nisan? Is it a Shlamim? Is it a Pesach that is being Shechted as a Shlamim? Do we require Akira or not? Boy Akira or Lo Boy Akira? Which is Machlokas in a number of different places in the Gemara over here. Whether you explicitly need to think, I am Shechting this L'Shem Shlamim or not? Tosus here pointed out, Tosus thinks that this whole machlokas is only before Pesach, but after Pesach, where it's no longer eligible to be Pesach, it transitions naturally. These are all questions you have to ask, right? Before Pesach, after Pesach, boy Akira, lo boy Akira, the Rambam's view here is very complicated, and very difficult. The Rambam, Farshim pointed out, seems to think lo boy Akira. That really came out of a Rambam when it came to Shchutei Chutz. We know you're not allowed to shech the karban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but there's
I'm sorry, what? Can I catch you? Just one clarification on that, Tosfos. I think Tosfos was saying that before Pesach, everybody agrees Boy Akira. The Machlokas was after Pesach.
Oh, yeah, you sure?
I think so.
Am I wrong?
I think so. Just check it.
And Koji is one of the reasons because Ah, okay, very good. Yeah, I think you're right. Thank you.
Because he's saying that because it's still Omid LePesach, nobody thinks that you can get away without an akiva.
Right. So that's important because then we need, so every single case, so before Pesach, after Pesach, how old is the animal, right? Ibur Shnaso. Okay. Right, the Rambam, the problem with the Rambam, so what exactly is the case? So we said there's a halach of Shutei Chutz, don't do it. However, you're only going to have a chi of kares for Shutei Chutz if the carbon ruz ra'ui lepesach ohel moed. This is a wonderful carbon, and the only problem is I brought it outside the Beis HaMikdash. So, you know, if the carbon was a trefa, let's say, and I did Shutei Chutz on a trefa, there's no kares, because it's not roi for ohel moed. If I had pigul and I burned the pigul outside the Beis HaMikdash, so that's what you do, right? So that you're supposed to, you burn it, right? Sreifa. So the whole din of Shutei Chutz is only for a carbon which is roi lepesach ohel moed. The Rambam paskins that if you have a carbon pesach and it is chutz lizmano, so the Rambam says, I don't care if you shachted it l'shem shlamim or l'shem pesach, it is your chayav and shlutei chutz. Which proves, or seems to prove, that according to the Rambam, you do not need akira. This carbon pesach has transformed into a shlamim. If it had not transformed into a shlamim, if it was still a carbon pesach, then when you shachted it, l'shem pesach, outside the Beis HaMikdash, what did I do? I should have passed it, right? If I need akira in order to save this carbon pesach, I need to shacht it l'shem shlamim. Well, then if I shacht it l'shem pesach, it should be passed. So I should not have a chi of kares. But the Rambam says you do have a chi of kares, and the Rambam even says the reason why you have a chi of kares is because pesach b'shari mos hashana shlamim hu. So that pretty clearly seems to imply the Rambam thinks that a carbon pesach does not require akira b'shari mos hashana, and it is a shlamim. So the tzlach and our gemaras says this whole discussion on tzlamach mebeis about if I shecht it lishmo or shelo lishmo, does the, you know, this weird psul of lishmo, like we're breaking our heads with the gemara, right? Like, wait, I'm always used to, you know, lishmo being good and shelo being bad. We're going to the whole gemaras over here and lishmo kills it, and shalol lishmo saves it. So the Tzlach pointed out that none of this appeared anywhere in the Rambam. He says, because for the Rambam, you don't need a kira. So if it's not Pesach, it's a shlamim, and the carbon will automatically be kosher. You can't pasul it, even if you think l'shem Pesach. So the complicating factor, this gets the Me'iri very angry with the Rambam, because the Me'iri learns the same way. The Me'iri says we do not require akira, but the Me'iri says, well, just like Shinui Kodesh Shelo Bizmano, there's no way it's ever going to be possible. So the Me'iri says the same thing is true for Shinui Bailim Shelo Bizmano. The whole Gemara is not a Libid Helchasa, because we think that Pesach Shelo Bizmano is Mamash Shlamim, so we know Shlamim the Shach Thrang Machshava Kashavu Ol Bailim. There's no psul. There's no psul Shei Kodesh. No psul Shei Bailim. It's Karmas Shlamim. So the Me'iri just rejects, throws out the whole Gemara. And so the Me'iri is very bothered why the Rambam thinks that if you Shach the Pesach Shlo Bezmano Machshava Shei Bailim, so the Rambam thinks that that's possible. That bothers Me'iri, and that shows us that, you know, this stuff is more complicated. Okay. I am not prepared to say more. Everybody had a lot more to say because of Shlomo Zman on the Chabura, but that is what I'm prepared to say in the Chazar. Last topic was Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Bailim, right? Which is really going to launch us into the next sugya. We dealt with two basic issues in the sugya. One was the relationship between Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Bailim. The other one was the status of this psul as a psulo begufo or not. So just to remember the basics about the relationship between Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Bailim. So this are these one psul or two? The Tosos, right? The Re thinks that these are two different psulim. The Re was asking our question at the end of the Gemara. Remember, the Gemara said, if I need Akira Shinoi Baile B'Shari Mos Hashana, will that save the Pesach Shel Bezmano? The Gemara is assuming I need an Akira Shel Bezmano. So we know that Shinoi Kodesh is the classic Akira. I shecht it L'Shem Shlamim. So Rav Papa asked, what if he said, well, if I shecht it B'Shinoi Bailim, that should also work as an Akira, which is super bizarre because Akira means it is a Pesach and you make it a Shlamim. It's Shlo Bezmano. So I need to turn it into a Shlamim, right? That's what we said in the last Sugya. I need to, and then it become a Shlamim by itself, then Loboy Akira. But if I need Akira, I need to turn it into a Shlamim. So why on earth would shachting it as Shimon's Karban Pesach do anything for me? It makes no sense. So the Re says, yeah, that's basically the Gemara's Maskana. Whereas Maskana is that the Pesach, Bashari Mos Hashana, Bashina Bailim is possible because you did not do an Akira. Shinoi Kodesh and Shinoi Bailim are two different things. Shinoi Kodesh, that changes the nature of the carbon. Shinoi Bailim, that's just external. It's just about the role of the Bailim. And Nafkaminas, that's why it only applies to Zrika. Right. And we went through, we explained how the Re will read the whole Shakla Dataria in the Gemara. But the Rambam clearly disagreed. The Rambam, we saw a whole bunch of evidence for this, but the most important ones was that he put them together. He says they're part of one overarching psul called Shinoi Hashem. And he thinks, against a number of Gemaras, that the scope of Shinoi Bailim is the same as the scope of Shinoi Kodesh. They both apply to Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. Right? And the idea seems to be that we need to think of the Karban as Ruvain's Chatos. And that is the name of the Karban. That's what the Karban is called. So you can do an Akira by calling it Ruvain's Ola, but I also can do a real Akira, a Shinoi Hashem, by calling it Shimon's Chatos. Okay, right, and we went through a couple of the nafkaminas. That was the main debate. And we saw the Netziv's explanation of how we could fit into the Gemaras. Okay, fine. And the last point was about whether these psulim are psulo begufo or not, because there were like stiras all over Shas. Right, on the one hand, the Gemara here says yes, and the Gemara says no because it's machshava ba'alma. And the Gemara in Tanach Beis it is psulo begufo. And the Gemara in Gimel said it's not. The Gemara in Menachos Ayin Tes seems to say it's not Pesul Gufo. It's like, what exactly is going on? And the best way to just boil this down, did I have an extra page missing? Oh, no, it's here. Yeah, the bottom. Good. Is two basic.
Bottom of the page. Bottom of the page.
The problem is that it was on the end of another page, but then I changed the margin so that I could save an extra piece of paper before I printed. But my brain did not catch up to that. So when I originally printed these old notes I had here, it was at the top of page 5. But in the printed version, it's on the bottom of page 4. Yeah. Okay. So the basic question, right, are these psulo begufo or not? So one view, we'd say this is the view of Patosos and Zvachim, and the Shita Mekubetes and Menachos together, is to say there is a hierarchy. You want to know if Shelo Lishma is Psul Begufo? Well, it depends what we're comparing it to. So the most Psulo Begufo is going to be a Pigle, right? Then, or Trefa. Trefa, then Pigle, which is Machshava. But it's a very chamer machshava, right? It has a chiyuv karis if you eat it. Then you have shelo lishma, shinoi kodesh, one level down, which is not as chamer as pigul, but it applies to the karban itself and it applies to all four avodas. Then one level removed, a little more extraneous from the karban, is shinoi bailim, which is a little more extraneous than shinoi kodesh. But still, right, it's still as shaychus to the carbon. That's what Tos went out in Zvachim or Daf Dalid. but it only applies to Zrika. It's not as connected, different from Shinei Kodesh, right? Again, this is not the world of the Rambam. This is the world of Balei Tosfos. It's different from Shinei Kodesh, one level down. And then one level down from there will be all these psulim we're going to learn about in the Mishnah coming up, right? All the Karban Pesach psulim, Ochlim, Inuyin, Arelim, Tmeim, where those are totally extraneous. They're not nogea to the goof of the carbon at all. Right. That's one basic way of resolving these theorems. You just have one big hierarchy. And every single psul is different and it ranks in, it's X level connected to the carbon, Y level connected to the carbon, and so on and so forth. The other way is to say, no, it's psulo begufo. And then you resolve the stiras with some other move. So Tosus and Menachos said, the Gemara that said it's not psula begufo, that was just Rabba Bar Avua, who thinks that even Pigel is not psula begufo. But Leolim, we think that Shilolishma is absolutely psulo begufo. Or the Grizz. The Grizz says, well, when we talk about psula begufo, so in our Gemaras, that means the nature of the psul. Does the psul apply to the carbon, or does the psul apply to something extraneous? The Gemara Menachos was using that line, psul begufo, in a very different context. There, the Gemara was asking, do I need to burn the meat right away? And for there, we don't need psul begufo in terms of, is it a psul on the carbon? We need to know, is it a psul that is directly prohibiting the busser of the carbon? I will only burn the meat of the carbon if the psul attacks the basar itself. So pigul is a great example of psulo begufa, because pigul, primarily it's an iser achila, and so that's a psul which is targeting the basar. Shelo lishma, it's not targeting the basar, it's targeting the carbon. Mela, I can't eat it because it's psul hamakdashin, but it's not a psul that's targeting the basar, and that's what the Gemara over there meant. So that's the Grizz's first answer. The psula begufo, the word itself can mean two different things. You want to know conceptually, is Shinei Kodesh going to ruin the carbon? Yes. You want to know if it's going to attack the meat of the carbon? No. And then his other suggestion was that, yeah, Sholoshma always is psula begufo, and then only has one meaning, don't get so fancy. And that whole Gemara Menachos is just dealing with the special din of the Kivsei Atzeres, which had a special different status. Which goes back to Schakira in Maaser Korbanos, but for our purpose, now we won't get into the details. That's it. So eight chaburas, three blot, Baruch Hashem, lots of good stuff, and looking forward to Chena tomorrow, and then going back.
Shkoyach, thank you.
Thank you.